as you can see, Drew looks a little bit different today, don't you?
I am.
So Drew isn't actually very well today. So my new co-host for today is my Nan Lil, which is really good because we've got her on today to talk about older generation love and today's love. But before we get into the topic, just to say today is actually our last episode of the season. We are going to take a little break and we'll be back. And if you just keep on top of our socials, we will then let you know when the new season's starting. So just keep an eye on our socials at mamahood_uncensored. But anyway, welcome, Lil.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? Are you nervous to be in the hot seat?
Yes.
Yeah? How did you feel when I rang you up and said?
Shocked.
Well, you're finally getting your claim to fame now, aren't you?
Oh, well, I thought I'd already got that.
Well, yeah, to be fair, you are all over the social media. So, Nan, let's talk about when you first met Grandad. So how old were you? All of that sort of vibe. I know we've just briefly discussed it in the car, but for everyone listening, let's paint the picture.
Yeah, I was late 14, 15 when I first met him. When we was in the cinema, my friend and I, and I didn't know then, but he came and sat with a friend and the seat behind us. And while we were watching the film, so someone pulled my hair. Turned around and it was your grandfather. Didn't take too much notice, giggled, like, you know, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was more or less it. And then it wasn't until we went to a youth club and I'd been going quite a while, and then all of a sudden your gramps came in. Wow. And there was sparkles and there was fireworks and I thought he was absolutely wonderful. Didn't sort of take off or anything then, but after a few times going to the youth club, when I used to be there early waiting to see if he would come in, then eventually he did come in and we did start to talk, not straight away, but then one Friday night, when it came to the end of the youth club, he said, "Shall I walk you home?" So, of course, my heart fluttered, and we walked up towards my home, past, there was a convent near where I lived, and we just got there. I know the exact place, I know exactly how it happened. We'd just been talking, then all of a sudden he held my hand, and then it was like an electric shock went all over my body. It was the most wonderful feeling, and I knew I loved him. And I loved him from that day on. And we sort of took it from there. It wasn't always a together love because we did break up. He had a few girlfriends, I had a few boyfriends, but then we would get back together again. And this went on until I must have been 16, getting on for 16 then. And then we did get together. We got engaged. But when that feeling, when I had that feeling, that electric feeling go through my body, I knew I could never, ever love another man like I loved him. There would never, ever have been another love in my life like him. I knew that. When he was 18, he was, because I was a year younger than him, and he had to go and do his national service. So I'd already been to his passing out parade and all that business, and absolutely, you know, everything was wonderful. The world is wonderful for me, for this man in my life. Yeah, then he was going to be sent to Germany. So we were, as I say, we were engaged again then. So he went to Germany, broke my heart. I think he had a good time there. The letters, you know, we'd write letters, he would come home. And then we just, from there on, he said, you know, we said about getting married. I always said I wanted to be married at 18. I wanted to have my first baby at 20, which worked out, actually. And, yeah, he came home and he then said about, you know, us getting married. So, of course, I jumped at it. And we decided we were going to get married on the Christmas. This was in the May. And so I went and took another job. I left my job. I was training to be an accountant, and I left my job and I went and worked in a factory so that I earned more money. And then I also did another job in the evening to save the money, because I so wanted to marry him. And anyway, as I say, this went on until in the Christmas. I'd made all the arrangements, I'd paid for all the wedding, and this went on until he came home. I think he came home about maybe 4 days before Christmas, because I'd arranged that we would get married on Boxing Day. Anyway, the wedding came. My dad, bless his heart, broke his heart. He didn't want me to get married.
I was going to ask you, I know we've asked in the car, but so usually my assumption was that you had to ask for the father's blessing to either, you know, get married or even take them on a date. But Grandad didn't do that.
No.
And you said he wouldn't have got the blessing.
No, he wouldn't have got the blessing from my dad with my mum. My mum absolutely adored him. I adored Dad.
Yeah.
At Gramps. And, you know, she was, So that's, and as I say, that on Christmas Day, Christmas night, my dad walked the streets crying because I was going to get married. the wedding day came. It was a wonderful wedding. He got so drunk. So, you know. But I thought, you know, this is for life. I have got the man I love for life.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
You know, I did have him for life. And
so you went on to have your children.
I went on to have my first one when I was 20, my second one when I was 22, third one when I was 25, and the fourth one when I was 32. Yeah.
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 And then how many grandchildren do you have? Do you remember off the top of your head?
11 grandchildren. Yeah, I had them, I adore. I adore, as did Gramps.
And who's your favourite?
Don't put that question to me. Don't do it. But to us, I mean, Gramps had all, obviously we'd all settled down then. Gramps and I had settled down in our marriage, in our life. It wasn't always easy, obviously, when you've got four children.
Mm.
You know, it was hard in those days. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It's obviously nothing like it is now. Now things to me are so easy to come by,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the right way or whatever, mm-hmm. but it wasn't for us. And Gramps always worked hard. He worked at the meat market, and then he would go round to Theatre Royal in the afternoons. I mean, bless his heart. He had to be at work at 3 o'clock in the mornings at the meat market, and he would get up, and he would, happiest person ever, and so was your uncle. The two happiest men in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, absolutely, used to drive me mad. But then your gramps would say, I'll make you a cup of coffee. Now, who wants a cup of coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning? No, I don't want it, thank you. I'll bring it up. No, so the coffee would come up, and there it would be when I got up in the morning. And the first thing he'd say when he come in, did you drink your coffee? No, I was wasting my time doing it.
He still done it every day.
Absolutely, every day he still did it, yeah. As I say, but then family, he got over his ways, you know. Happy with family.
Mm-hmm.
Family always has been the most important in his life, in both our lives.
Mm.
And it still continues to be that way, and, you know, I'm very fortunate to have all of you,
mm-hmm.
11 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-granddaughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, unfortunately, bless him, he isn't here now. It's the biggest heartache of my life.
Get the tissues. How many years were you together in the end, Nanny?
Married, we were nearly 59 years. We were just off a few months for 59 years. Together, as I say, really from on and off, okay, but on and off, we were meant to be from, you know, when I, as I say, he was 15, I was 14, and it was just destiny that we just met, it wasn't always easy, as I say, you know, there was lots of tears, lots of heartache, and like most marriages then, anyway, not smart. It wasn't, not that I would have done anyway, it's easy to walk away now.
Well, yeah, we were saying that on the way up here, because one of the questions was, you know, was love deeper back in the day? And I do believe in some respects, yes, it was, because I think it's so easy to quit now because you've got so much more temptation around you these days, I think, with social media and the internet. Like, I know you'd have people immediately in your circle that you would know of, but you couldn't have, like, secret affairs and stuff because it probably all would come out in the wash anyway, whereas it's so easily influenced now. And I think people always think the grass is greener and they're going to have a better life if they leave. And it's not always like that. I think people fought harder for their relationships back in the day.
And also, as you say, I mean, people look down on you. You know, it was a thing, I think. I mean, I remember when I was at school, there was a girl in my class, a nice girl, very quiet, very unassuming, really. And she, at 15, she left and she got pregnant. I mean, and everybody just turned against her because she was pregnant.
Mm.
And I felt so sorry. I mean, even me, I didn't sort of make a point of being friendly with her because it was something that just wasn't done. No. But in those days, you had to marry the father. It was, well, I say you had to, it was a thing
frowned
that
upon
was expected.
But don't you think that's mad? Even in this day and age, if a 15-year-old got pregnant, it'd be the girl that gets tarnished with the names. It's not ever the man.
No, exactly.
It's never the man.
No, no.
And it's so wrong.
Yeah.
Because it takes two to tango.
Absolutely.
And if you go ahead with that pregnancy at 15, I think that speaks volumes, really, that you're actually preparing to give up. I don't think, obviously I had Esme young, but I don't think you fully know what you're getting yourself in for. But to take on that responsibility at such a young age, that's actually something you should be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, you know, as I say, it was classed as love.
Mm.
It wasn't just casual sex or that sort of, it was love.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why I could put my hands up and say that I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it was respect for my family, for my parents.
Yeah.
Because I know my father would have been absolutely horrified if I'd have got pregnant. I think, you know, as I say, I looked at things differently. And I think most of the girls my age, you didn't go into those things easy.
No.
You really didn't. I think it wasn't just a casual thing. You had to really...
love someone.
To me, anyway, you had to really, you know, love
that's person. Completely different in this day and age as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it is, and I can't believe now, you know, you meet someone for the first time, and the next thing, you're having sex. I mean, that to me is horrific, and I'm quite broad-minded, really, but, you know, God, you don't know who you're meeting up with. You think you're meeting up, but you don't.
No.
You don't, you know, you don't really know.
What you're getting yourself in for. No.
No, you don't. No.
No. With your mum and dads back in that day and age, so again, another generation, would your dad have had to ask your granddad for your mum's hand in marriage?
Well, because my grandfather, my mum's dad, was a gypsy, and my dad's father was very army. He had his higher up in the army. And both my grandfathers were in the army at the same time, and they knew each other and they didn't like each other. So actually, I don't know too much about what happened, but my mum and dad got together, but my mum, because my grandfather, my gypsy grandfather, would not accept. He absolutely hated.
It's like Romeo and Juliet now.
Yeah, he absolutely hated. So my mum left and went to live with my dad's mum and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, I mean, and they did get married. My grandparents, my mum's parents, didn't go to their wedding. As I say, I don't know too much. It wasn't said too much about what happened with them. But it was they loved each other. Obviously, they loved each other. They stayed together until, you know, I lost my dad and my mum. And my mum, people would say, because things could get very hard, I think because of the way when my mum and dad went to live with my grandparents, her parents, and because even after all those years, my grandfather still didn't like. I mean, there was a reason that we all went to live with my grandparents. And so it was very hard to live in a peaceful environment.
Mm.
And people used to say to my mum, why do you stay with him? And she didn't say because I love him. She said because of my girls.
Mm-hmm.
But my mum adored my dad. I know she adored him, absolutely. Mm. And as hard as things and, you know, sad some of the things, well, a lot of the things, but he adored her as well. And in a different, you know, in a different scenario, I suppose, it could have been a lot different. But the love that my mum and dad had, and I suppose this is what rubbed off on me, you know, because Gramps' family were entirely different. I mean, he came from a big family, and they were all sort of all family together, whereas, you know, I only had one sister. But again, that's the only love I knew with whatever went on in our lives, in mine and my sister's lives, growing up with my grandparents and my parents. They were all still together.
Yeah.
You know.
So I guess it's like the whole nature versus nurture thing. Like whatever you grow up seeing is what you class as normal anyway. Yeah. I mean, as we were saying on the way up here, so you've got four children and none of them are with their partners now.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with the grandchildren, there's only two of us that are with two of them are with their partners and the rest of us are all separated. And that just goes to show how generations change. Because they don't stick at it I don't know whether it's right or wrong, because I mean, if you're really in an unhappy relationship and, you know, you're having that around your children, or even, you know, if you just aren't happy in yourself and it's just not working, then in some respects, I think it is better to walk away to have a healthier and happier life, because what is the point in being miserable forever? And I bet in that generation, a lot of people did do that because of the shame that comes across, you know, if you were to get divorced, you sort of get looked at as like damaged goods, but that isn't the case anymore.
No,
because it's so that's normal.
That's more the norm, exactly.
Yeah.
But and those, you know, you didn't, I mean, people did stay together, because that's what it was, you know. And I think a lot of the time you could maybe, obviously growing up, as I say, it was wartime. I was a charter baby in the war. But as I got older, after the war, when the soldiers or the, you know, the servicemen were coming home, you could see, I mean, as young as I was, I mean, obviously we're getting into, you know, 10 or 12, you could see there was a big difference, but people still stayed together.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't say, you know, it wasn't the happiest of marriages for some. But
I think there's some people out there that still have that old school mind. So they think, you know, this is for keeps now. Yeah. This is my life. Yeah. And whether I'm happy or whether I'm not, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I think there are still people like that. But I mean, as I say, it's so much easier now to think the grass is green, and whether it is or whether it isn't, you're so easier swayed either way.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to upset you too much, Nan, but just briefly, just touching on Gramps, obviously he's going to have been passed 8 years in July. I mean, I always look at it like, obviously, I'd never want to lose either of you, but I know he wouldn't have coped without you.
No, he wouldn't. I mean, when he started being poorly...
Hold my hand.
But before, he was good. You know, I didn't have to do lots for him. But I would say to him sometimes I was tired, and I'd say to him, you know, he didn't really ask me to do much, but I felt I wanted to do it. I love him.
Yeah.
I loved him. I've always, and I wanted to do it. But I would say to him sometimes, you know, sometimes the carer goes before... The actual, I knew someone actually, it was a lovely old couple, and the lady had a stroke, and her husband absolutely adored her, and he looked after her, and she did get, you know, partly better. And then he was the one who died. And I said to Gramps, you know, I said, this is what can happen, innit? And he said to me, let me tell you, if you go first, I'm going to be right behind you.
Yeah.
You said, I don't want to go on without you.
No. And it is just awful. You've known your entire life, well, majority of your life together, to then go on now without him here. It sounds horrible, Nan, but I know days where you just think you're waiting for your turn, and it's horrible, exactly. But I know that's how you feel.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to live after a massive loss like that, to go on. Obviously, like, we've got a huge, huge family, and there are people that don't have that, but not one of us can make you feel that way.
It's the same sort of thing. Family gatherings, you know, you're surrounded by all of them, so much love from the older ones, from my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and you're surrounded by, but there is just that loneliness, there is that loss, you know that something is missing.
Yeah, well, I feel like all of us feel that void anyway, yeah. Like it's just not the same anymore. No. And life will never be the same.
No. It will never, you know, as I say, like, every morning I've still got the T-shirt that he was wearing. I mean, I take that to bed with me every night. Every night I kiss him and I say, you know, tell him I love him. Every morning the first thing I say, I love you, I miss you. And I'll do that for, I don't care if people think I'm stupid. I used to think myself, how could people be like that? But I know how people, you know.
You don't know until someone. You've gone through it.
Exactly. Exactly, no. and that is it.
No, and if, like, people that know Gramps or knew Gramps, he is the most loveliest person, has the most infectious personality, and, like, even now having Jude, obviously, I look at, like, him and I think he would absolutely love him, yeah. Like, he would bounce off of his personality, yeah. And I know, yeah. Jude would him, things like that, like these... You know, how many more babies we've all had during exactly. that time that he's missed. Yeah. And, yeah, like, yeah. it's so hard every yeah. single day.
Yeah. It's the same with, you know, I think with my mum, she was the most perfect person. She was such a wonderful, my best friend, my forever friend, although, you know, she's been gone 38 years. But every day I say to her, tell her I love her.
Mm.
I think she only knew Shelley and Sean, you know, for a little while, how she would have loved. It's that love.
Yeah.
It's that love.
It's crazy, though. You and Gramps have gone on to create this massive legacy. So yeah. There's 11 grandchildren. How many great-grandchildren? I've lost count.
18. Yeah.
And then one great-great.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy that just from the two of you, that little cinema visit with the hair pull has led to this.
Yeah.
And that handhold,
especially that.
Yeah.
As I say, that really was, I knew, Gramps and I had never got back together, I would never love another man like I love. I could not.
And I think, like, looking in on your relationship, I obviously know the ins and outs, I know it wasn't always perfect, no relationship is, but... your relationship is my relationship goals. That's what I want, that love. Is what I would aspire to be, and if it's not like that, I don't want it. And that is why I've been so picky over the years, because I'm happy now, but those years, it's just...
And you have to realise, you know, people can look at you and say, oh, you're so lucky. It isn't always easy, and I don't care who it is. There are times when things are bad, you know, we all go through that. Life isn't perfect, and marriage isn't always perfect. But if you love someone, you will get through those times.
Yeah.
It might hurt, but you do get through these times. And then at the end, you think, you know, I mean, Gramps and I, to the last 25 years of our life together, you know, our children, we'd gone through getting married and we're getting to know each other in a marriage way. We'd had our children and then we had our grandchildren. And then it went on until in the end, there was just Gramps and I at home. So then that time was what I call our time.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, all the befores was wonderful and part and parcel of what goes on. But, you know, we'd go out together, sit on the bus. We always held hands, always.
Mm.
If we were sitting, we sat next to each other on the sofa. Always held hands, or he had his hand on my leg, or I had my hand on, always.
Mm.
We were never without, we didn't want to be going everywhere. We were quite happy, and he was just happy to be at home.
Yeah, he's just very much a home bird, yeah, wasn't he?
Considering and, what he was from when, you
yeah,
know,
bit of a party, I mean, animal. Yeah, yeah. But then when you look back on it, like, your house was never, although you didn't have any kids there, it was never empty.
No.
There's always someone. No. And yeah. I bet you used to think, oh, for God's sake, because we've all got keys, we're all ourselves in.
But, you know, and of course, and if, like, you know, he would say, like with your mum, I remember this time he said to me, and we hadn't seen her for a couple of days, and he said to me, have you had a falling out with Tracy? And I said, no, why? Well, why haven't we seen her? No, he was always, and you know, yeah, you know how we would stand at the door, yeah, and wave you.
Honestly, they and, you still do it now. Yeah, they, when we drive off the drive, they're still waving by the time I'm at home having a cup of tea and they're both still at the door waving.
Yeah.
I think that's like a cute grandparent thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure, you know, sure all grandparents do it, and mums and dads probably, you know, but yeah, but no, but it was, as I say, to me, it was something that was meant to be.
Yeah.
As I say, from that time when he held my hand, I knew that was my destiny.
Yeah.
That was my destiny. He was the one and only man I could love. I would never, ever have found anyone. I wouldn't want to anyway.
No, no.
So maybe you wouldn't have been here.
No, well, then you'd really be sad, wouldn't you? Because you lot all would as well, because I wouldn't be here on the podcast. So there we go. Okay. Right, Nan, we put some polls up on our Instagram, so I'll just read them out for you and for the listeners. So has our generation missed out on true love? 58% of people said yes and 42% said no. So I don't think we have. I just think it's very different now to how it was. As we've just said, I feel like people give up easier. There's, you know, there's more breakups, there's more blended families, all of those things. I don't think we've like lucked out on it, but I do think that maybe it's just a little bit different now. But I still think there's true love out there. I think is it easier to have your head turned in this day and age? 83% of people said yes and 17% said no. As I said, I think it's social media and the internet.
Yeah.
It's so easy to, even if you're not meeting up with these people, you can still get some sort of, I don't know what the word is, but
I mean, there's an attraction which straight away, you know.
Yeah, so whether you're actually cheating or not, you're still getting something still, off of it, and you're still pursuing something, whether you're going to sleep with them or leave your partner to be with them. If you're talking to somebody and you wouldn't want your partner to see, then I think that, you know, that's...
In a way, that's a cheat.
That is a cheat, man, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that people still got their head turned back in the day, but it was easier to get away with because there was no social media and people didn't know where people lived and stuff to tell them? Well, not really.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah. I asked, was love stronger back in the day than it is now? And 74% of people said yes, 26% said no. And as we've just said, think because people fought for their relationships more, feel like that was stronger back then than it is now. But I wouldn't necessarily say the love itself is, that's still there. But I just think the way people handle things
exactly.
is different.
Yeah.
This one's actually shocking to me. Were your parents still together? And 42% said yes and 58% said no. So that's more than half of them aren't together now. Mm-hmm. And that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Because when we asked about the grandparents, 81% of them were still together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just goes to show they stayed together, they fought through their issues, and whether they were happy or not, who knows.
Exactly. And that was the thing. It was something that, I suppose, like with my grandparents, it was looked down on if you know. I can't even remember, like, in as I say, I was only a young girl, very young girl, but I don't ever remember seeing anyone, neighbours or whatever, with anyone other than their
partners
or even going off.
Yeah.
Or anyone in the family.
Yeah.
You know,
So is it more rare than, it was more like rare for them to break up than not? Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it didn't, but it wasn't.
It might have been a bit more hush-hush as well. Yeah. Okay, we asked, is your partner romantic? 41% of people said yes, 59% said no. Was your relationship romantic?
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, always.
Yeah.
And what do you think about lovey-dovey couples? 64% said they loved it, and 36% of people said it's cringe. What do you think?
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love love. I just think it's nice when you see people that are truly happy and in love.
And you can see. It's not... It's when you can look at them and you can see it's that is...
Yeah.
It's not something they're putting on.
No.
You can see it.
And I think some of these people, I mean, might be wrong here, but the people that don't like it, I think maybe you're not that happy then.
Because
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't like it, though, when you see people snogging and stuff on the street.
No.
That, to me, that is cringe, and I don't like that.
No.
But just, you know, hand-holding, things like that, I think that's lovely to see. Yeah. Right. And then we went on to ask you something that your partner does that's not necessarily romantic, but it is to you. And I asked you on the way up here. And you said your coffee at 3 a.m. every morning.
Yeah, my coffee, bless his heart.
Do you know, mine's a funny thing as well, because my boyfriend, in the morning, he gets up at 4:30 every day to go to the gym. Yeah. And every day when his alarm goes off, I think, oh, for God's sake. So I'm the same as you. You think, oh, now I'm up. But before he goes, he says, lift your head up, and he flips my pillow round so it's on the cold bit, you know, when you get in. And then he does the same with my covers as well, flips my covers round so it's all nice, I can fall back asleep. And I love that, because then I actually can go back to sleep, because you don't feel like stuffy and... Yeah, but I'll just quickly run through these. Sian said, cleans my fish tank. That's what she gets him round for.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then brings me food or dinner unexpectedly, massages my feet, always buys me treats from the shop, and being nice when it's my time of the month and I'm being a bit psychotic. Brings me Pepsi Max. Cork said, sterilises the bottles every night. That was nice.
Yeah.
My ex used to put a wash on. That's rare sometimes, isn't it? making time for one another away from the kids and work. Gets me flavoured water. Meal preps my lunch every day and makes me overnight oats every night. Tea and biscuits every day. Will do the household chores that I would usually do if he can see that I'm tired. Treats me to a takeaway once a month because he's not very good at cooking. When we're both hungover and bedbound, he'll make me a Marmite toasty. So there's everyone's little love languages. They're all completely different.
Yeah.
But yeah, little things like that, I think, mean the most rather than these like big grand gestures. Yeah. You notice every single person there said something that's so small, but it means a lot to them.
Because that's another thing with your gramps. Even when he was, you know, going through his poorly stages, God bless him. And, you know, I'd get the Hoover out and he'd say to me, "Now, I'm doing that. I'm going to do the Hoover." And I say, "No, you can't."
Yeah.
No. You say, "It's too heavy for you. I'm doing that." And he would insist.
Yeah. He was very much like that, because I remember the day you went shopping and I said, "Look, I'll come down." And not that he needed looking after, but just someone to be there and to give you a bit of respite as well, so that you can get out of the house and, you know, just do you for a little while. Yeah. And I remember going in and he was having a shower and I went in with the mop. He said, "Put that down." He was so angry that I was mopping the floor in the shower. Yeah. I said, "No, honestly." Yeah. And he wouldn't let me do it.
Yeah, no.
So very, very determined.
And as I say, as poorly as he was, "No, that Hoover is too heavy for you." I said, It isn't. He would mop the kitchen floor every day. I'd say to him something, "Hey, you know, I don't think, no, I'll do it."
Yeah.
You know, whereas before, like when we were first married, it was a
woman's job.
He'd come home and that would be him finished.
Yeah.
You know, but then that to me was normal.
Yeah.
Because that's how.
Yeah, that's what you've grown up with. Yeah.
But, and then when he, obviously, you know, he finished work. And as I say, in those last years that we had with us sort of thing, you know, he'd even wash up.
Well, I think when Mum had her morning job and she used to have to drop us off at like 6 a.m, you'd both be cleaning every single morning.
Yeah.
You'd always, one of you would be doing some things, one of you would be doing the other. I guess when you don't have a job to day to day, that becomes your little routine that you do, doesn't it?
Yeah, because that was something he couldn't cope. It took him a long, long time, because he'd always work.
Yeah,
he just couldn't. It was hard. I'd say it was hard to live with, but he was it took him a long time to
adjust to it.
Adjust
that, all these people that think, "Oh, I'm going to retire at this age and this age." Yeah. Unless you've got loads of money and go off and do whatever you want, it's a lonely life to just not go to work and retire early. Yeah. I know, like, we don't want to be working until we're in our 80s, which is looking like we will be, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on today, Nan. Honestly, I feel like this has been a great chat, something that I'm going to pass on to generations and generations. I can pass this clip on and just say, if it doesn't feel like this, then you need to get out of that because it's not worth it. Any final words?
Just, you know, if you're with the one you love, just be happy. Make the most of your time. Time is so precious. Time is so, so precious. And I always say, today's gone. You're not going to get that back. Just enjoy each day, each moment with each other. Because, okay, I can sit here and I can say, you know, I remember this, but it's not the same.
Mm.
I can remember. I can remember, you know, but enjoy that time.
Mm-hmm.
Make it just you and the person you love, whoever, whatever, man, woman, you know, whatever. Just make that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is with you forever. As mm-hmm. I say, if you've got the love of your life,
make don't the let most them go. Of it.
No.
Hold on tight.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that brings us to the end of series three. On behalf of me and Drew, I just want to say thank you all for tuning in. This has been such an incredible series. We've had so many amazing guests on. We've spoke about so many different topics, from dating, twins, to achondroplasia, and so many things in between. We've raised hundreds of pounds for multiple, actually, I think it might even be in its thousands now, for charities, including Sands United, Endometriosis UK, Little People. We've done giveaways. We've had a really amazing 5 months. So it's been incredible. Make sure that you're following us on our socials at @mamahood_ for any updates of when we're coming back. Get well soon, Drew Balls, as well, because it's gutting that you're not here for the last one. I miss you. The community will miss you. But yeah, we won't see you same time next week, but make sure you're following us on YouTube, on Instagram, and on TikTok. Again, it's @mamahood_. Love you, bye. Give them a wave, Lil. And that's it.